as we sit a short prayer. Our gracious God, as we consider these words of your Son, the Lord Jesus, please open our hearts that we might receive strength for the challenges we face and inspiration for your service. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. If you have that open in front of you, please do keep it with you on page 975. In the past few weeks here at St. Mary's, we've been reading in Matthew's Gospel about the early days of Jesus' ministry when he was up north in Galilee. And today we come to the point where Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to do what he had been doing. He sends them out with his authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to do this all over Israel. Now, to be sent on a mission by somebody great is very special. How flattering it is to be given a responsible task by the boss of your whole company. Some of us here at church have been commissioned by Her Majesty the Queen herself to serve as officers in her armed forces. What an honour that is. How pleasing it is to be asked to do something by the woman or the man you love. Well, what an honour for the 12 disciples and for Christians today to be sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his witnesses in the world. It's important to note that the mission Jesus gave the 12 is very special and very specific. In some ways it's the same, and in some ways it's different from the mission Jesus gives to all Christians, to us today. But he does still give us a mission today. We just said to little James in his baptism, continue as Christ's faithful soldier and servant to the end of your life. So let's see what we can learn from the mission of the 12 for our mission, for what it means for us to continue as Christ's faithful soldiers and servants to the end of our lives. First, we see that Jesus sends flawed people. It's not perfect people he sends, but flawed people. Let me read from verse 2 once again. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now these apostles are rightly honoured, but they were also flawed people. Peter was impetuous and blunt. He went on to deny Jesus and then was restored. When we read about James and John in the Gospels, we discover that they were proud and had selfish ambition. Thomas is famous for doubting the resurrection until he met the risen Jesus. And Matthew, well, he was a tax collector before he met Jesus, feathering his own nest by embezzling funds. And Simon was a zealot. They were violent terrorists. You see, Jesus chose to send flawed people, and he still does today. I read this week about Michelangelo carving his great statue of David. Did you know that he chose a piece of marble with a deep flaw in it, a deep crack in the marble? It had been rejected by other sculptors, but Michelangelo saw that he could take this flawed marble and use it for something beautiful. That's the mark of a great master, isn't it? That's what Jesus Christ does today. He takes flawed people and he uses us for something beautiful. You see, the heart of the Christian message is not make yourself good enough for God. No, it's much better than that. It's that Jesus Christ came for sinful people, like the apostles. He died for their forgiveness, and now he means to use us in his service. It's wonderful news for those who feel flawed. Perhaps you feel flawed by ill health, by shyness, by doubts. Maybe you struggle to say no to sin. Maybe you have a past. Well, if so, take heart from this first thing we use about the mission of Jesus. He sends flawed people. Let's move to the second thing we learn. Jesus sends us to use words and deeds together. That's how we witness to Jesus, using words and deeds together. Let me read now from verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I mentioned that in some ways their mission is different to ours. For example, at this point, the 12 are sent just to the Jewish people, not to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. This was partly for practical reasons. They weren't yet ready for a cross-cultural mission. And partly for reasons of timing. It was right that, first of all, the Jewish people had a chance to receive their Messiah. Later, Jesus would send them to all nations. Also, we read here that the 12 were given astonishing power. They could do what Jesus had been doing. Heal the sick, even raise the dead. Now, this was a very special time indeed. I do believe that Jesus still heals today in amazing and wonderful ways. You could speak to Mandy Imlay later and her friend Karen if you'd like to hear more about their experience of that. But Jesus does not always choose to work in that way today. Often we have to wait until heaven to get the full healing. But what we can learn from the mission of the 12 is that Jesus sends us to use words and deeds together. The disciples were sent out with a message to share. The kingdom of heaven is near. As I mentioned last week, the kingdom of heaven is not just in the future. No, it consists of men and women living now under God's rule and blessing. And the kingdom of heaven is near because with the coming of Jesus, anyone can turn to him as Saviour and Lord and enter that rule and blessing of God. That was the disciples' message. But they also had deeds of compassion and power to show the difference being in Jesus' kingdom makes. That's the way we witness to Christ in the world, not with words only, not with deeds only, but with words and deeds together. In our youth group this week, we were learning about somebody who did that. Elizabeth Fry, the Christian prison reformer at the end of the 18th century. You might have noticed her picture. It's on the £5 notes. Elizabeth Fry would go into women's prisons and show huge kindness in those terrible places, providing clothing, even starting schools for the poor children of the prisoners who were there with their mothers in jail. Her deeds, but she also spoke to the women of Christ and opened the scriptures with them. It was very moving for us in the youth group to read of the results of Elizabeth Fry's deeds and words. Several prisoners came to a saving faith in Christ. Many were empowered by Christ to live transformed lives after their release. Some went to their execution with a humble assurance of forgiveness in Christ and heaven ahead. Now, one writer has said that words and deeds belong together like the two blades of a pair of scissors. I appreciate you know what scissors look like, but I've brought these from home. If we have just words on their own, it's cold. If we have just deeds on their own, well, people won't know that it's through Jesus working in us that we do what we do. Now, it's when they come together, words and deeds, that we're able to make progress. Many of us are fearful when it comes to words, speaking to friends and family about the Christian faith. But you know, it can begin in very gentle ways. Perhaps just letting people around us know that we have a Christian faith. Or offering to include people in our prayers if they share their problems with us, or listening to others as they share what they believe, or by being ready to answer questions and share our story. It's the second thing we learn about the mission of Jesus. He sends us out to use words and deeds together. Well, we can't look at everything in this great reading, sadly, but let me share a final thing. Jesus sends us out to expect a divided response. I'll read from verse 11. "Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom or Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." Rather like Winston Churchill's speeches in 1940, with these words, Jesus gives his disciples accurate expectations of the troubles ahead. He tells them that there will be those who welcome them and their message, but also there will be those who will not listen. In a very solemn verse, Jesus speaks of Judgment Day. He mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, those pagan towns infamous for their immorality. And Jesus says, quite shockingly, that on Judgment Day, the worst judgment won't be for those famously immoral towns, but for those who have heard of him most clearly and yet refuse to respond. Whenever Jesus speaks of judgment, he does so, I think, with tears in his eyes as a loving warning. The worst thing we can do is hear the message of Christ again and again, but not respond by inviting him to live in our hearts through faith. From those who know much, much will be expected. But the point for the 12 is that they will face a divided response. And if they did, so will we. Our mission calls for great patience, great perseverance, great sticking at it through difficulties, because Jesus warns us there will be those who don't listen. But wonderfully, there will also be those who hear the message of Jesus and welcome it. Those who give their lives to Christ and find pardon for their sins, peace with God, a purpose to live for, his power to help them, and a place in paradise. Now, if it's a privilege to be given a responsible task by the boss of your company, how much more to be sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ as his witnesses in the world? Next week, we'll be thinking about the second half of Jesus' mission briefing for the 12 here in Matthew 10. But for now, three questions for us. Do you, like me, think of yourself as flawed when it comes to the mission of Jesus? Well, Jesus sends flawed people. Will you pray for patience and perseverance in the mission of Jesus? We'll need it, because he sends us expecting a divided response. And can you think of ways that you can use words and deeds to point people to Christ? That's our job. It may be in small ways, acts of kindness, letting people know we have a Christian faith. But in God's hands, what starts small can be very significant indeed. May that be the case with us. Amen.